All right. Good evening, everyone. Always good to see you. Glad you could make it tonight. 2 Kings chapter 22, and I'm going to read just a few verses here, and then we're going to pray. You remember Josiah, King Josiah, has ordered repairs on the temple, and they go in, and the workmen begin to work, and they discover a book. Okay, here's what happens. It said, "And Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the secretary, 'I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord.' And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the secretary came to the king, to Josiah, and reported to the king, 'Your servants have emptied out the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of the workmen who have the oversight of the house of the Lord.' Then Shaphan the secretary told the king, 'Hilkiah the priest has given me a book.' And Shaphan read it before the king. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. When the word of the Lord was read to the king, Josiah, he tore his clothes." So, let's pray. Almighty God, you are unique among all of the so-called gods of this world. For where they have no ears to hear, no mouths to speak, you are the God who uniquely hears and speaks. Our Father, we come tonight as needy people, perhaps far more needy than we realize. But you certainly realize our need. You know. As our shepherd, may you lead us to pasture this evening and feed us. Feed our needy souls with your word. Wash us with your word, that any lingering uncleanness upon us may be dealt with by your gracious hand. And Father, as Josiah responded to your word, your teaching, your reproof, your correction, your training, may we too respond in repentance and obedience. May our hearts be welcoming and receptive, that your word may dwell richly in our hearts. We cast our cares through praying. We cast our many cares upon you, knowing that you care for us. So meet with us tonight. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. We are beginning tonight what we're calling taking on the sins we tolerate. When I say we as Christians, okay? We as Christians. And when it comes to sins, we often put them into categories. We have a tendency to categorize things, and so we have different categories, such as the atrocious sins. I mean, the worst of the worst, okay? And so I want you to help me here. Just think about this for a minute and let's answer. Are there cultural sins? Are there certain cultural sins that the church, and I'm talking about us and the church at large as well, are there cultural sins that the church seems to call special attention to? In other words, that we seem to identify more readily and put in the atrocious column? And if so, can you name some of them? What are some of the cultural sins that the church seems to be more ready to talk about, maybe even pounce on? What might they be? Okay, abortion. Church, it's a sin. We church has a lot to say about that. And we hear a lot from the church about that. Gay marriage, homosexuality, particularly just kind of label it under sexual sins, okay? The church seems to have a lot to say. We kind of get fevered a bit over sexual sins. Any others that you can think of that are cultural sins that maybe we seem to harp on more? Alcoholism, okay. Drunkenness, all right, okay. So there are a few, all right? But the Scripture does mention other sins, right? There are many other sins that the Bible identifies other than the ones we just mentioned, right? Could it be that there are sins that Christians are much more tolerable toward? And if so, can you think of any? What kind of sins do you think? Now, we shouldn't be tolerable. I know you're sitting there thinking, well, what do you mean tolerable? Yeah. I know, I understand, but are there sins that we seem to be, as Christians, seem to be a little bit more tolerable toward? And if so, what might they be? Gluttony? Okay. All right. What else? Idol worship? Okay. All right. Sure. Yeah. Any others? Road rage? Anger? Okay. All right. Yeah. Any others? Pride? Yeah.
Lie?
Okay. Lie? False witness? That's good. Any others you think of? Materialism? Okay. So there are some, right? There are some sins that we seem a little bit more tolerable toward than others, okay? Over the next few Wednesday evenings, we're going to look at Scripture, and we're going to specify it this way. We're going to take on, okay? Taking on the sins we tolerate. And that means the sins that we kind of maybe seem a little bit more comfortable with than others. And by taking on, okay, I want to talk about this for a minute. What I mean by taking on, I'm speaking of the Christian's ongoing struggle or battle against original sin. Okay? Now in your notes, you have some of the things we're going to talk about are in your notes, and some may not be, and so you can add by just writing down whatever you want to there. But I just want you to focus for a moment on original sin. I think you'll see the definition also on the overhead. Original sin. You've heard the phrase original sin before. Original sin is the effect which the sin of Adam has upon us as a precondition of our lives. Another way of putting it, it is the tendency that we have to sin, which is innate in all human beings. There's something about us, okay? There's something about us, something innate within all of us, where we have a tendency to sin. Original sin now is, notice this, original sin is not speaking of any particular sin. Okay, original sin is not speaking of a particular sin, but rather the overall tendency we have to sin. Which, another way of, what's another word for that? In the NIV, the New English, New International Version of the Bible, you'll find the phrase sinful nature. Okay, that's what the translators of the New International Version speak of here, original sin, our sinful nature. Now, we're talking here just for a moment about this idea of taking on. As Christians, all of us should be taking on any particular sin in our lives. You see, as Christians, we have been set free from the power of sin, but not its presence. Okay? We've been set free from its power, its dominion, but we still must deal with its presence. It's still a reality. We still deal with this struggle, this ongoing battle against original sin. You'll remember the Puritans. You remember the Puritans back in the 1600s, 1700s? The Puritans had a lot to say about this issue of original sin and what John Owen, one of the Puritans, called indwelling sin. Here's the way they put it. Saints in this world are never entirely free from original sin. It will plague them to the day they die. It is like a furnace always sending forth sparks. Okay? Indwelling sin. Therefore, follow with me. Therefore, when we come to Christ and do experience His saving power, and the power of sin is dealt with. It's dealt a blow. When that happens, the Bible teaches that the Spirit of Christ now dwells within the believer, taking control of our heart. It's then that we can expect the real fight to begin. Now take your Bibles and turn over to Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17 is a section of the Scripture where Paul begins to talk about the believer's need to walk by the Spirit, or walk in step with the Spirit. The Christian has experienced the saving power of Christ. The dominion, power of sin has been dethroned. The Spirit of Christ now is on that throne, dwelling within our hearts, taking control of our hearts. And that's when, according to Paul's letter in Galatians, that's when the fight begins. That's when the real struggle begins for the believer. In Galatians chapter 5, we're going to start reading at verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. That word against, okay? That word against is warring against. And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. Notice, Spirit against flesh, flesh against Spirit. For these are opposed to each other. They are at war against one another. There's a war going on within the heart of the believer. The Spirit is in control, but there's still an opposition to that. It says, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Now, as you're looking at that verse, okay, as you're looking especially at verse 17, I want you to see something on the overhead that will explain what that is saying. Living the way of the Spirit, okay, living the way of the Spirit is another way of saying walking by the Spirit or walking in step with the Holy Spirit. Living the way, for the Christian, living the way of the Spirit is what we most deeply want. As new believers, the Holy Spirit is cultivating new desires in our heart. What we really want, at the real core of the Christian's heart, we want to walk in step with the Spirit. Yet, the sinful nature continues to generate alternative and competing desires, which we experience and can give into, but which now contradict our most abiding love and goals. Now, unpack that again. What we really want as Christians, what is really at our heart, is a desire to walk in step with the Spirit of Christ, to obey Christ, to love Christ, to put Him first. However, there is a war going on, and the sinful nature continues, according to verse 17, there's this continuing generating of competing desires, desires of the flesh, which we experience, we face them, and can actually give into, though that would contradict our most abiding love and goals. Our most abiding love is to walk in step with the Spirit. Our most abiding goal is to walk obediently before Christ. But according to Paul, so that we'll know this, so that we'll understand this, there is a war going on. There's a battle going on. And so, we have to fight, right? We have to fight. We have to take on the sins. In this case, the sins that we tolerate. Now, our sinful nature, somebody put it like this, maybe this will help. Our sinful nature is like a wounded bear. Which one's safer? An unwounded bear or a wounded bear? According to people who faced a wounded bear, a wounded bear. A wounded bear is more dangerous than a healthy one. See, our sinful nature was once ruled alone and was unopposed. See, imagine our sinful nature king. ruling, unopposed. All of a sudden, Christ's work in us dethrones the power of sin. Our sinful nature now, though it's been dealt a mortal blow, it's wounded. And it's like a wounded bear. It becomes more stirred up now because of the new birth, because of the presence of the abiding presence of the Spirit of Christ. So that's why we read in the Bible things like this. Walk according to the Spirit. Put off the old. Put on the new. Lay aside the weights and the sins that does so easily beset. You know what language that is? That is taking on language. That is battling language. That is a call for us to be involved in the fight and in the struggle. And so that's why that we are saying tonight and over the next few Wednesdays, we are taking on, okay? We're in compliance with the call of the Word of God, the Spirit of Christ for the believer to take on, to fight the sins that we might sometimes tolerate. Now, the next few weeks, here's some of them. We're going to look at vainglory, pride, lack of self-control, sins of the tongue, envy, jealousy, anger, impatience, worldliness. That's just to name a few. But tonight, the particular sin that we're going to take on and look at is the sin of gossip. The sin of gossip. I found this old clip here. Gossip. Notice it says the plague of the church. The plague of the church. Could that be true? Could that really be true? The plague of the church? Ray Ortland's a pastor in Nashville. He said this, the sin of adultery can destroy a family, but it is unlikely that it will destroy a church. But the sin of gossip can destroy an entire church. See, and sometimes we don't look at it that way. Again, we have our certain sins that we categorize. We have adultery, but gossip. I graduated from Bullitt Central High School in 1973, and for the life of me, I cannot remember any shortages that year, you know? But I found out, looking back, I'll read it to you. For most Americans, 1973 was marred by shortages. After the stock market crashed and lost 45% of its value, there were shortages of oil, gasoline, electricity, and even onions. The United States spiraled into a period of economic stagnation and a shortage, a shortage psychology. Then right in the midst of this economic turmoil, get this, a toilet paper scarce ignited a communal panic attack. Does anybody remember that? Anybody remember a toilet paper panic? Okay, let me go on. It all started with unsubstantiated rumors. In November of 1973, news agencies reported a tissue shortage in Japan. Then a U.S. congressman issued a press release stating, quote, the U.S. may face a serious shortage of toilet paper within a few months. A toilet paper shortage is no laughing matter. It's a problem that will potentially touch every American. That was the quote from the U.S. congressman. The media ran wild and sensationalized the story. Then Johnny Carson, the host of Tonight Show, joked in his monologue. He said, you know, we've got all sorts of shortages these days, but have you heard the latest? I'm not kidding. I saw it in the papers. Get it? You know, papers. But there's a shortage of toilet paper, he said. Millions of Americans swarmed grocery outlets and hoarded all the toilet paper they could get. People told their friends to bring their own toilet paper to baby showers. Merchandisers struggled to restock supplies. For 4 months, toilet paper was a rare commodity. It was bartered and traded, and a black market even emerged. Slowly, Americans realized that there had never been a shortage. It had been artificially created by gossip. Cool story. Let's start tonight with a biblically based definition for gossip. And you'll see it on the overhead and you may have it in your notes there. a biblically based definition for gossip, even though I think probably all of us know what gossip is, but maybe this will help kind of help us work through this. The sin of gossip is bearing bad news behind someone's back out of a bad heart. So bad news, bearing bad news, the sin of gossip, bearing bad news behind someone's back out of a bad heart. We have all most likely had those times when we thought, have you ever had those times when you think there's some little voice that says, should I be saying this? We all have, right? Should I be saying this? Or even better, should I be listening to this? Should I be listening to this? See, someone might ask, well, isn't it okay to talk about others? You know, isn't it okay? Is it never okay? Is it always wrong? Well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that in just a moment. But what I want you to do first is turn to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 8. Some of the verses I'm going to ask you to turn to tonight just to keep you awake, and the others will be on the overhead. But Proverbs chapter 18, verse 8. We want to start with that verse first to kind of be kind of our main verse tonight to help us work through this sin of gossip. Proverbs 18 and 8. If you have the English Standard Version, it reads like this. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. Now, on the overhead, you'll see the New International Version, how it translates. Very similar, but just one little difference. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's innermost parts. What you need to understand, whether you have the English Standard Version, the King James Version, NIV, the Hebrew word that is used here that's translated, some again, gossips, whisperers, all these describe fundamentally a person who gossips. So what we're going to do, we're going to take our definition first, and then we're going to lay it, we're going to take it a piece at a time, I guess, a piece at a time and lay it across this verse. And just remember that the sin of gossip is bearing bad news behind someone's back out of a bad heart. So let's look at the first part of that. At first part, you'll see it. I think there it is. So it's the sin of gossip is bearing bad news. Now, what does Proverbs 18 and 8 say? Notice the first part of it. The words of a gossip or the words of a whisperer. The first thing we want to notice about the sin of gossip is a talking thing. Okay? Gossip is a talking thing. Notice it says the words. So gossip is using words. Okay? Gossip is a talking thing. It uses words. You'll see this on the overhead. Some of these verses I want to ask you to look up. Look at this in Proverbs 20 and 19. A gossip betrays confidence. So avoid a man who talks too much. There it is. Talking. Gossip involves using words. It involves talking. And a gossip here is one who talks too much. But we should also note that listening to gossip is also condemned. In other words, it's not just talking, it's not just using words to gossip, but the Bible also condemns listening to gossip. Notice Proverbs 17 and 4. An evildoer listens to wicked lips, and a liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue. Now, when I first read that verse, you know, I thought, what does that have to do? What does that have to do with gossip? And I think you can see that it has to do more with listening. An evildoer listens to wicked lips, and a liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue. So listens, gives ear to, that involves listening. Now, I want you to listen, or actually you'll see this. Tremper Longman, in his commentary on the book of Proverbs, here's what he said about the verse that we just looked at. This is interesting. This proverb provides an observation that allows one to evaluate oneself and others. Guilty lips, more closely defined than the second colon, heed people who talk in a way that harms others. This may be done through lies, slander, gossip, rumors, false accusations, and the list can go on. Now notice this. Often in Proverbs, this foolish type of talk is condemned. Here we see that listening to such talk is equally condemned. So, Dale, if you can flip back to that verse, Proverbs, an evildoer listens to wicked lips, and a liar gives ear to mischievous tongue. And so the point is, the sin of gossip uses words. It's a talking thing. And it's also condemned as a listening thing. So the sin of gossip is bearing and listening to bad news. Now, wouldn't it be great if before you had a conversation, before you heard a conversation or had a conversation, you were able, this thing popped up in your mind and it said that right there. Warning, the contents of the next conversation contain sinful gossip. Use caution. Wouldn't it be great if that popped up? You know, here comes somebody and or they call on the phone or whatever it is and that just pops up, you know, on the screen of your brain, you know. Wouldn't it be great? Well, it doesn't. It doesn't. But maybe it does. I don't know. but it would be great if it did. Now, remember, gossip is talking bad news. So let's take just a moment, because what does that mean? What is bad news mean? There's different types of bad news, all right? There's bad news that's bad information, okay? Sharing lies or misinformation about someone, knowingly or not. That's one type of bad news. Bad information. And knowingly, to do it knowingly is what's called what? Slander. Okay, so that slander is kind of a cousin to gossip, okay? But a gossiper spreads bad news, talks bad news, and sometimes it can just be outright bad information about someone. Another type of bad news about someone is bad news about someone that's true, okay? True about something bad they have done. Okay, so it's true, it's not misinformation, it's not like it's true. But it's about something bad that they have done. See, we've often heard this. Have we not heard this? If something is true, then it's not gossip. Have you heard that before? Well, that's just not true. Okay? That's just not true. Okay? And we say that, why? Because in Proverbs 11 and 13, notice what this says. Proverbs 11 and 13. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. But he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. Remember in First Peter, we looked the other night, love covers a multitude of sins. You see, the secrets revealed by gossip that may be true, they may very well be true, are often the skeletons in someone's closet that do not really need to get out. I mean, I'm not going to ask you to reveal, but anybody have any skeletons in your closet that you would like to have on Facebook? Anybody? I don't think so. I doubt it, right? We don't want that, you see. We don't want that. And secrets revealed by gossip, sometimes that's what it is. It's just dragging the skeletons out of somebody's closet. They may be true. They certainly may be true, but they don't need to get out. So let's take a break here and just ask this question. And let me hear. Why is it so hard for us to refrain from opening the closet door and dragging skeletons out? Why is that so hard for us? Anybody want to be honest and just say, here's why it's hard. Why is it so hard for us to refrain from going into somebody's closet and dragging out all the skeletons and gossiping about it? Why is that so hard to resist and refrain from? Why? Margaret? Okay. Well, yeah, okay. But I'm talking about here dragging someone else's. Why is it so difficult to refrain from that? Okay. All right. Oh, good. Good. We have a sense of, I feel better about myself. I've never done that. You know, I've never done that. They have, but I haven't ever done that. Anybody else? Anybody else? Why is it so hard to refrain from this? You know, that there's an answer, okay? Why? Want to look good? In the know. We're in the know. You know, I know this. I know this about so-and-so. Yeah, yeah, right? Anybody else? Okay. They don't like that person. Okay, yeah, absolutely. Want to get back, retaliate. Yeah, good. Okay. It goes back to the original sin. We're going to get some more to this in just a minute, but there's something about us, okay? Remember original sin? There's this tendency within us that we have a tendency to sin, and that includes this sin of gossip. Here is a good answer to this question. Why is it so difficult to refrain? Let's see it. The words of the gossip are like choice morsels. That is so cool. I brought with me my choice morsels tonight. These are my choice morsels. Let me explain. Catherine and I were at Kroger probably a year ago. You know how they do? They'll set up little stations there and they're trying to pitch new products. And so they had these. First off, I looked at them and it said Lay's. And I thought, Lay's, there's no way that's any good. Because I like Ruffles. I like a good, thick, big chip. You know, I want something sturdy. I don't want greasy stuff with grease all over your hands. You know, and that's all I remember about Lay's. And so I thought, they're free. You know, she offered some free ones. I thought, I'll take it. So I want you to know, I tried one of these. I do believe, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, I do believe it's the best chip I've ever had. Best, okay? It's called Simply Lay's Sea Salted Thick Cut Potato Chips, okay? And Catherine, she knows how much I appreciate my potato chips and don't like them all bruised up and cracked. So she actually bought a bag, put it in the car seat, wrapped the seat belt around it, and brought it home that way, just so they wouldn't be broken. These are my choice morsels, okay? Here's what I'm trying to say is, I promise you, I could open this bag right now and eat every one of these in one setting. Give me a Pepsi to go along with it, I can eat this entire bag because they are so good. And I have a difficult time stopping at just a handful or something, you know. What are your choice morsels? Anybody here? You start and you can't stop. Ruffles. Okay. What? Corn chips. Anybody else? Huh? Chips Ahoy. Okay. I mean, I'm going to imagine that all of us here have our choice morsels, right? See, what this proverb is saying, the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. What that means is they are so attractive, so difficult to resist. You know, we've got this juicy, whether it's true, whether it's not true. We've got something here to say. We've got something here to tell. We just cannot hardly stand it. We're just going to blow up unless we do it. They are choice morsels. Just like eating those chips. I got to have some more. I got to have some more. I just can't stop, see? But if you eat the whole bag of Chips Ahoy, is it good for you? No. No. And that's what it means. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down into the inner man, you know, and cause all kinds of problems. So the sin of gossip is bearing bad news. Now let's look at the next part of our verse, our next part of our definition. Sin of gossip is bearing bad news behind someone's back. And Proverbs 18 said the words of a gossip are a whisperer or talebearer. Talebearer is kind of neat, you know. It's kind of like, you know, like a mule, you know, you're like, mule, load the mule up, load us up with a tail, you know, here we go, you know, take off, you know. So tail bear is kind of picturesque, kind of a great imagery there. But a whisperer is someone who talks behind your back. Okay? A whisperer is someone who talks behind your back. Now, let's be clear for just a moment so we don't have any misconceptions here. The Bible does not teach that we should never talk about people who are not present. The Bible never never lays out an instruction that says, don't ever talk about anybody who's not present. Okay, it never says that. For example, we could say good things about those who are present, right? See? So it doesn't mean that we can never say anything about somebody who's not present. There might be times when we have to talk about those who are not present, even to share bad things about them. For example, parents, you know, sometimes you have to talk to the teacher and you have to talk about bad things and your child's not there. Parents, spouses, teachers, coworkers, pastors, all may be required at sometimes to talk about someone who is not present. So how do we make a distinction? Okay. What might help us, and you'll see some things on the overhead, perhaps this would be a good test to help us think this through. Before we say it, would I say this if he or she were here? Okay? If they were right there, would you go ahead and say what you were going to say? That's a good question to kind of keep it front. Would I receive this bad news about him or her in the same way if they were present? That goes to listening to it. You know, in other words, if they were there, the bad news was shared, would you go, what? You know, would you do that or would you go, oh, you know, how would you respond? See? Thirdly, am I hiding this conversation from someone? Would I want someone else to talk this way about me if I were out of the room? That'll usually do it right there. You know, why will that one do it? Isn't that similar to what Jesus said? You know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That usually works to help, you know, as some sort of deterrent. So the sin of gossip is bearing bad news behind someone's back, but that's not all. We got another part of the definition to look at. Out of a bad heart. And that Proverbs 18 said they go down into the inner parts of the body. Those choice morsels. It's the picture here of again, you know, it seems so good at the time, I cannot stop eating them. But later, and Catherine knows this, later a bellyache. Oh my goodness. A later bellyache and another 2 pounds, you know. They go down into the inner parts. And what is the wisdom writer saying? Gossip comes out of a bad heart. Gossip comes out of a bad heart. It's caused by something that is wrong at the core of our being, our inner parts. That's talking about the heart. Okay? It's talking about the heart. And that's the control center. Okay? That's where our motivations for doing what we do come from. So our heart is that part of us from which our motives spring. And so, This happens out of a bad heart. Here's some self-diagnostic questions. I don't have them on the overhead, but I'm just going to put them out there. You want to kind of diagnose what's going on. Let's say maybe you've been involved in either passing gossip or listening to gossip, and you know, you're kind of like you're feeling a little bad about that. Here's some questions that may help. Either while you're doing it or after you, why am I saying this? Why am I really saying this? What's really going on here? You know, if taking long enough, serious enough, sober enough to say, why did I say that? Why am I saying this? Another one may be this. Why am I enjoying listening to this? Why am I enjoying this so much? Why is it such a choice morsel? You know? And again, I think about what Lonnie said just a moment ago. Sometimes it can be, you know, sometimes we struggle so much with our own, you know, our own self-identity and our self-worth that when, you know, we struggle so much, some do, and then when they hear that somebody else stumbled and failed and whatever, we're like, oh, good, you know, good, you know, I feel a little bit better about myself. You see, I've never done that. It's never happened to me, you see, and then we get proud and exalted. See, we may, if we ask these questions, why am I saying this? Why am I enjoying listening to this? We may discover what we've said before, the sin beneath the sin. Okay? First, there's the sin of gossiping or of listening to gossip. But, according to Scripture, there's the sin beneath the sin. In other words, if I ask myself, why am I saying this? Why am I enjoying saying this? Why am I enjoying listening to this? Why is this gossip such choice morsels to me? I may discover the sin beneath the sin is really what Dexter mentioned earlier. Hatred. Jealousy. Envy. See, it may just be that I may discover I hate this person. And so I don't mind ruining their reputation. I don't mind dragging the skeletons out. It may be I may discover that I'm just jealous of them. I don't like the fact that they're getting attention because I wanted that attention. I want the eyes to be on me and not on them. The sin beneath the sin. You see, all heart, if you think about it, all talk we do is heart talk, right? I mean, what proceeds from our heart, Jesus said? All talk is heart talk, and everything that comes out of our mouths reflects something that is deep within our hearts. Now, let's remember, not all talk is sinful. There is such a thing as loving small talk. Loving small talk. I read that not too long ago. And the difference between careless talk and gossip versus loving small talk is found in the very state of our heart. See, if the state of our heart is good and healthy, we may find ourselves talking about someone and they're not present, but we're honoring them. We're honoring them. We're talking loving talk. We're saying things like, "Do you know so and so? I tell you, have you noticed what a servant's heart they had? You know, a couple of years ago, man, it just seemed they were so into themselves, but now they got such a servant's heart about them, and they seem to be really growing spiritually, and you know, just loving small talk. You're honoring them, and maybe you're complimenting them about being a good mother and a good dad and those sorts of things. See, that will only happen. That will only happen out of a pure, healthy, God-satisfied heart versus a sour, sore, wounded heart that doesn't have its identity in Christ, satisfied every morning with the steadfast love of God, and then often what will lead to careless talk or scriptures called gossip. So, now let's take the remainder of our time. Where do we start taking on this sin? You know, what do we do? Well, I thought maybe it might be helpful if we just lay into, not that we haven't already, but lay into the ugliness of this sin. In other words, what else in the scriptures, what other scriptures have to say something about gossip that might help us to see the ugliness of it? So take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, and we're going to look at a few verses together there. We're going to start reading at verse 29, but it's Romans chapter 1. Now, if you know anything about Romans chapter 1, you'll remember that one of the cultural sins that the church really has a lot to say about is found in Romans chapter 1. Sin of homosexuality and lesbianism. Earlier in chapter 1, it has something to say about that. But notice in Romans chapter 1, starting at verse 29, they were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They're gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. There's a number of things that really highlight the ugliness of gossip. Notice, first, it's mentioned here in a catalog of other sins evil, covetousness, malice, maliciousness, murder, even murder. I mean, it's almost like God, you know, doesn't have this atrocious list and tolerable list. It's almost like He doesn't, you know. So first we just need to see, look at the category that this sin is in. And notice it says, though they know God's decree, in other words, those who gossip, okay, those who gossip, they know God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die. But then notice next, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. In other words, it would be extremely dangerous for us to have the attitude that says, look, it's not that bad. In fact, sometimes it's warranted, you know, and we just give our approval, which is to say it's all right. It's not that bad. Now take your scriptures and turn to 2 Corinthians 12. We look at verse 20. So 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We notice that once again, the sin of gossip is mentioned in a category of others. Paul writes, "For I fear that perhaps when I come, I may find you not as I wish, and that you may find me not as you wish, that perhaps there may be quarreling, jealousy, anger, hostility, slander, gossip, conceit, and disorder." Now, quick question, who's Paul writing to? He's writing to the world or church? Church, okay, good. You're on board. Writing to a church, I fear that when I come and visit you, there may be quarreling and jealousy, anger, hostility. Notice all these: anger, jealousy, gossip. In other words, these are ugly. These are not becoming. These are sins that are not becoming of the people of God. I want to see another one. You're going to see this one on the overhead because it's rather long. In 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 9 through 16. This one's rather interesting. Not that the others are not, but 1 Timothy chapter 5. Starting at verse 9, "Let a widow be enrolled if she is not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband." Now, when it says be enrolled, in other words, she's going to be put on a widow's list in the church for the church to help us, to sustain her, help her. Verse 10, "And having a good reputation," or having a reputation for good works, "if she has brought up children, has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, and has devoted herself to every good work." In other words, there's certain qualifications for this widow. But, verse 11, "but refuse to enroll younger widows. For when their passions draw them away from Christ, they desire to marry, and so incur condemnation for having abandoned their former faith. Besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. So I would have younger widows married and bear children and manage their households and give the adversary no occasion for slander, for some have already strayed from Satan." Now, notice back in verse 13. I want to be clear about this, ladies. In 1 Thessalonians, it includes men in that category of busybodies, all right? So just want to make that clear, okay? Not picking on ladies here. But just notice here, gossip is never, never, never painted in an attractive way in the Scriptures. It's always portrayed as being ugly. Gossip can cause a fire in a family, in a church family. One last verse, and we'll see it on the overhead, Proverbs 26 and 20. "For lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there's no whisperer, no gossiper, quarreling ceases." And I close with that verse because as a church, let us commit ourselves to not put any fuel on the fire. Amen? As a church family, let us commit ourselves not to put any fuel on the fire and commit ourselves to not engage in gossiping, engage in listening to gossip. I found an interesting quote here, and this even goes beyond the church, okay? D.A. Carson writes this, and I think it's self-explanatory. Listen carefully. When one of our leaders falls, conduct yourself in such a way as not to give strength to the opposition. When a minister of the gospel is caught embezzling funds or having an affair, then certainly the biblical principle for discipline must be brought to bear immediately. If the law has been broken, the civil authorities must be contacted. If families have been damaged, there may be a great deal of pastoral work to be done. But understand well that many unbelievers will be gleefully rubbing their hands saying, see what you can expect? All this religious stuff is so hypocritical and phony. Thus, Christ is despised and the credibility of Christian witness dismissed or diminished. Christians must restrain their tongues, watch what they say, and especially be especially careful about saying anything unnecessary to unbelievers. This is a time for mourning, not gossip. So not just gossip amongst the church family, listening, that sort of, but even taking the heartbreaking things that can happen in a church family and taking them and talking to unbelievers about them. Because the unbeliever is not going to have the disposition of heart to say, oh my, I'm so sorry. Let me pray with you. No, it's just going to add fuel to the fire, you see. And so let's be careful about that. Perhaps an additional deterrent for gossip would be, remember that this is a sin for which Christ died. If we're looking for deterrents, ways to fight, things to help us to take on sin in our lives, that original sin, these troubling things that we're to put off and lay aside. If we're looking for deterrent, we're looking for help, let's primarily remember that this is a sin for which Christ died. He gave His life for it. And so may we say, how could I indulge in something that cost my Savior His life? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, would You tonight apply these wonderful words of our Lord to our hearts? May they be sealed upon our hearts that we will indeed say, how could I engage in this practice, in particular in the sin of gossip? How can I engage in this? How could I be involved in listening to this and promoting this and approving of this, while it is a sin that my Savior died for? So, Lord, let that be a strong deterrent for us. And may we walk in step with the Spirit, that we may not satisfy the desires of the flesh. We thank You for that help in Jesus' name. Amen.